Okay.
All set?
I will call the Subcommittee on Natural Resources to order for Wednesday, February 4th. We have a number of items on the agenda. But before we do that, since this is actually the first meeting of this committee, I think it would actually be good, and maybe if I start over there, maybe Senator Hansel will be here by the time we get over here. So there's at least one new House member here, but if anybody just like to go through and just say who they are and where their district is.
I starting?
Yes.
Representative Jody Hack, and I represent South Salem, Almsville, and Turner, which is House District 19.
I'm Representative Julie Parrish. I am represent Westland and Tualatin, which is House District 37.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm David Gomberg from House District 10. That's the Central Coast from Tillamook all the way down to Yahats and inland as far as Sheridan and parts of Polk County. It's a wonderful district where all of you vacation. I hope you do that frequently.
I'm Brian Clem, and we're in my district now, 21, which is kind of in the center of Salem. I'm happy to be back on the subcommittee after a four-year hiatus.
So Dan Rayfield, House District 16, Corvallis, Philomath.
I'm Michael Dembrow, State Senator for District 23. That's the savage lands of Northeast and Southeast Portland. And I realize I'm the only holdover on this subcommittee from last year. So I promise to be very generous with my wisdom and my experience and my time to you all.
Well, thank you.
Well, I was hoping Senator Hansel would be here, but I'm Senator Richard Devlin. I represent Senate District 19. Julie Parrish is my state representative. My district encompasses Lake Oswego, Westland, Tualatin, two stump mall communities, Durham River Grove, portions of lower southwest Portland, and the Dunthorpe area. Actually, I sometimes refer to my district as the center of the metropolitan area because I have territory in all three metropolitan counties. With that, I think we're going to go to an overview by Mr. Siebert. Mr. Siebert has been doing this area, I think, forever. Not quite statehood, but almost forever. But Mr. Siebert, if you'd like to go through, and then we'll see if there are any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I would just point out that meeting materials will be posted on OLIS, as was done last session. So if you go open OLIS up today for today's meeting date in the Joint Subcommittee on Natural Resources, you'll see there are four items there, the first of which is the agenda. We'll always provide you a paper copy of the agenda at your places for reference, and you can use the back to write on if you'd like to. I'm going to be working off the very last, the bottom item, the subcommittee overview. There's also a couple bills, assignment list, and then the committee rules. I would just note that for attendance, we ask that you be here at 8:30 starting time. I know it's kind of an early subcommittee, but we will have a couple work sessions starting even next week, or 2 weeks. We have one next week and then two the week after for some federal grant application requests. So we ask that you be here in time so we can, you know, get to work quorum. We need there's three Senate members and five House members. That means we need at least two members of the Senate and three members of the House to make a quorum and report legislation out to the joint committee, the full joint committee. Subcommittee members and everyone in the audience, we always ask that they turn off their audible pager, cell phones, or other electronic devices. As was noted earlier, these are pretty big microphones that lean pretty far into you, so be careful what you say. They're very sensitive and they can pick up a lot. And I would also note that this hearing room, like most of them, is televised constantly. If a roll call is needed for votes, then that will be taken by the committee assistant. We do ask that you get out of the room fairly soon after the meeting. It's not that big of an issue for this meeting because of the timing, but the committee assistants do need to set up for the other meetings that are coming up later that day. We are just the first of many that will be using this room over the course of the day. The meeting notice is required is 72 hours ahead of the first public hearing on a bill and 48 hours for subsequent public hearings. And we use whichever of the two rules is the most stringent of the House or the Senate. So we're going with the 72 hours ahead for first public hearings, so they will be posted in time. Bills can be carried over to the next day for the same meeting type in cases where work's not completed with the subcommittee chair's announcement. That's for instances, for example, usually work sessions where we're not quite done with the work or there's a question, something's not decided. We can, you know, carry the bill over to the next day even if it's not on the official agenda, as long as we leave the meeting open and announce that it will be for the exact same meeting type. The daily agendas, as I said, will be distributed in the subcommittees for that day. Most meeting materials, again, will be posted in OLIS. Once in a while, especially with members of the public, may come in and provide paper. We ask that they submit stuff ahead of time, which if they do, we put up on OLIS. But sometimes we'll still get folks coming in. As far as budget hearings and work session process, an overview of Oregon's budget process is available. I put a link in the subcommittee overview. That's up on our website. It's just a quick slide that's kind of generic. Slide shows generic about the budget process in Oregon and the Ways and Means process. A list of all the agencies assigned to the subcommittees is attached, and that's the bill assignments list. And that is, looks like this. It has all the bills and all the agencies, and it also has which analysts are assigned. So in LFO, I have some of the agencies, but not all of them. We have our analyst and the phone number for the analyst, and we also have the governor's budget office, one person, which Kathy's here. She'll see her name on this list a lot. She does a lot of the natural resources budgets for the governor's office, and that would be the DAS analyst. Also, on this overview, we have a tentative order of budget hearings. There are no dates on this list because they're still, you know, kind of tentative, but this is the order we'll be proceeding with, starting on Monday with geology and mineral industries for Monday and Tuesday. The Marine Board, you'll be hearing their budget presentation on Wednesday, and then the Land Use Board of Appeals will be a Thursday. Of course, there's no meetings of the subcommittees on Fridays, and then next week we'll be starting off with energy for most of the second week. Starting around April 20th, meeting dates have been set aside for phase two of the Ways and Means process. These hearings will provide additional time to address specific budget information, including but not limited to in-depth review of ending balances, reduction options, policy option packages, and the governor's budget recommendations. Phase one, the first phase we'll be going through, is really more about understanding what the agency does and why they do it, kind of what they do with their base budget and why they exist, for example. Then in phase two, we'll get a little bit more into some of the depth of the budget decisions that will have to be made. But obviously, if you have any questions, just feel free anytime during the presentations to bring those. And some of them we might be getting answers during phase two. You'll receive a copy of the agency's budget bill at work session. A single binder of the governor's budget for each agency will be available in the hearing room as supplemental information. These copies, we ask that they remain in the hearing room. But electronic versions of the governor's budget binders for each agency will be available on OLIS near the time of the agency's first hearing. So we do have CDs available of electronic versions of the whole governor's budget document that you can search electronically. And those will post up into OLIS. They're also available if you would like a CD copy. We can arrange that too. For budget work sessions, LFO staff will provide a memo and a work session document. Based on the subcommittee's action, staff will develop proposed amendments to the bill. A budget report is prepared to document the subcommittee's budget recommendations for consideration by the full committee on Ways and Means, as well as the House and Senate members. So what that means is for work sessions in the subcommittee, we'll be bringing in, you know, LFO recommendations with a memo that would include any proposed budget notes, budget changes that we're recommending, other direction might be in there, and then we have a separate report that comes out of the budget system that will show each of the decision points, and we'll work through those during work session. Then what happens between subcommittee and full is we write up the budget report, and a budget report is essentially a combination SMS and fiscal impact statement, if you think of it that way. It tells what the bill does and also tells what all the money's for. The subcommittee chair will assign a member to carry subcommittee's recommendation to the full committee and to the floors of each chamber. For budget bills, the carrier must be a member of the full committee. Sometimes for some policy bills, we of course it has to be a member of the full committee to go to full, but then after that we can assign it to carriers to maybe sponsors or some other members that aren't on Ways and Means. But for budget bills, it's going to be a member of the full committee. Although we could have, for example, in the House, we could have a member that's not here could carry the bill, a budget bill, to the House floor, I would think, that's not a member of full. LFO prepares a pony for those. And of course, LFO will be available on the staff to provide staff support for any floor discussions when the budget's being considered. Budget notes will be included in the budget report if essential to clarify or expand on the administrative requirements directly related to the budget. Proposed budget notes must be channeled through the subcommittee chair and must be approved by both the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. We ask if you have any potential budget notes or ideas that you get those in as early as possible, just so we can get it through the process and have plenty of time for their consideration. The subcommittee will also deal with budget-related fee bills. There are a few bills that, for example, Department of Agriculture has a fee ratification bill that will be considered. And those are for when fees are adopted during the interim that were not necessarily approved as part of the agency's budget. The agencies need to come back to the legislature and get those fees ratified. So we have, I believe, one of those with the Department of Agriculture. Federal grant applications, as I mentioned earlier, requests to apply come through subcommittees and then go to the full committee. And that's as far as the requests to apply go, is they just go to the full committee. They don't have to go to the floors because they're not bills. Next week, we'll have one for the Department of Energy. We're trying to get in. The deadline to apply for that is February 12th, I believe. And so we try to have at least subcommittee action taken before the deadline of those applications are due. So, and then the week after, there are a number that we'll be doing. ODF&W has some grants, and DEQ has a grant. So those will be in the following week. Agency reports, there are sometimes direction for agencies to report either through law or budget note or other reasons to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee, so you might be taking action on those. And then, as mentioned earlier, substantive legislation with fiscal impact as assigned by the co-chairs. And that's it for my orientation. I would note again that the rules for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means are the rules that we use, and those are also posted on OLIS.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Hansel, will you introduce yourself?
I'll be pleased to. I apologize for my lateness. I had a whole group from OHSU students here at lobby, and time got by me, and I apologize. I'm Senator Bill Hansel from District 29.
I did want to make a couple of comments. I'm actually glad to be here. I chaired this subcommittee in 2007 with Mr. Siebert, who does a very able job. But I will only be here on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's because the co-chairs actually meet in the morning and the afternoon, Monday through Thursday normally. Since Representative Buckley comes from Ashland, we usually don't have our morning meeting on Monday. So if I was to attend every meeting of this Monday through Thursday, we would have none of our morning meetings. And we normally meet about 3.5 to 4 hours a day, the co-chairs do. And so I will be here Monday and Wednesday, so I'm actually only giving up one of my three actual meetings to do this, because I wish that wasn't the case. Representative Rayfield, I'm sure, will do a very able job chairing the committee on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do think this is a very interesting area in the budget. There are 14 agencies here. There's actually over about 5,000 FTE, or actually 5,000 employees, about 4,300 FTE here in these 14 agencies. These are amongst some of the most complex budgets that we actually have. Historically, this area of the budget doesn't get as much public attention as other areas of the budget, but it's just as important. One of the things Mr. Siebert mentioned about things being assigned to carry at the full, The interesting scenario here is I only have Mr. Rayfield and Representative Rayfield and Representative Gomberg on the full, so all budget bills will be carried to the full that are carried by a House member by those two, and since the co-chair of Ways and Means rarely carries a bill to the full, all bills to the full will be carried by Senator Hansel, unless Senator Hansel doesn't support the bill that comes out of the committee. I hope that that's actually never the case, because I think that there's a very good prospect that most of the bills that come out of this, budget bills, will come out on very strong majorities from both chambers and both sides of the aisle. And we will get a significant number, not a huge number, but policy bills later that has fiscal impacts. I think Representative Parrish has one that I know of already. Representative Clem is rather prolific in bills that might come to this subcommittee, and I believe there are others here also. I just want to state that so you know why I'm not here tomorrow and why I'm only going to be here 2 days a week. One of the problems is the Senate has far fewer members than the House, and just as many committees, practically. So, any additional comments for the good of the order?
I've got one. Senator Dembro and I, we got your back when you're not here.
Okay.
Just want you to know that.
Well, I expect that, actually. Mr. Seabrook, do you want to introduce our committee staff here?
Sure. We have a committee assistant. Our committee assistant is new this session. It's Risa Chuman. She'll be in all these days doing natural resources. She also does the public safety subcommittee. So she's in this room most of the day.
Oh, poor you.
And then I would just note also that we know where to find Senator Devlin if we need him on the days he's not here.
Actually, most of the time when I'm not here, I will be just behind the next door.
Just bang.
Okay. Any additional comments for the good of the order? Seeing none, we adjourn for today.
Yep, and tomorrow then is the overview.
Adjourn for today.